Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with friends and family in person, to see your faces, to shake your hands. It's good to see, well, for you to see me, I guess, digitally up there. You are with us in spirit. For those who know and for those who don't know, I'm Tim Gauchy. I'm a good friend of Brandon, Pastor Brandon. I've been a regular attender here for a few months. My wife and kids are over there. Cody is my wife. Oh, Esther is in the back. She's with a friend. I got Noah, my oldest daughter, Ben, my son, and we have one coming, one along the way. So can I tell you guys that as a newcomer, as newcomers, my family and I have, we've nestled our way into your hearts surprisingly fast. We've got high energy kids with loud whisper voices and clompy feet, and no one cares. We don't bring our Sunday best. Well, in fact, we bring our Sunday sleepy, our Sunday haphazard. And you guys don't bat an eye. You as a church body have a culture that allows us, well, to be needy, to be messy, to be broken. You're not threatened by different. This is refreshing, okay? This is a big deal. We don't have to perform to fit in. We don't have to wear masks that hide our faults. My family and I, we kind of limped in to Landmark, tired and frazzled, and you received us with a gentle smile, genuine interest, outstretched arms. Thank you. For the month of August coming up, Brandon will be walking us through the praying heart of the Apostle Paul as we read his prayers for the church body in Thessalonica. Thessalonica. I butchered that the first time, right? Thessalonica. The Thessalonian church. There we go. The series is entitled How We the Church Should Pray for One Another. And the memory verse is from Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And the big idea, well, what is prayer? And so for our time today, I have the privilege of introducing the sermon series and kind of helping us wrestle with what is prayer. So I, like anybody that doesn't want to answer the question, I throw it on you guys. What is prayer? If you were in an elevator and a random person asked you, you look like a Christian, what is this whole prayer thing about? How would you answer? This is where the silence gets awkward, right? I have like two ellipses in here. I'll just stand back and let you guys ponder for a few minutes. Admittedly, prayer is hard to describe, isn't it? There are probably thousands of books by now completely devoted to prayer. Every denomination has their prayer book. Each one of us was either taught by someone else who knew how to pray, or we kind of gathered our own understanding from the church that we grew up with or when we first became Christian. So for our time this morning, I want to draw our attention to Psalm 27. So if you want to open your Bibles, that's kind of where we're going to be landing here. Later on, we're going to focus especially in verse 4. So keep that in mind. I'm going to read the whole psalm in a second. And I invite you to simply listen. I invite you to allow the words to become your words to God as though you wrote them. So let's take a deep breath. God is speaking.
Verse 1 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a path because of my enemies, on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, we invite you to dwell with us right now, where we find ourselves. Lord, hold our minds, hold our hearts, hold our bodies in your arms as we chew on your word. Amen. Here are some questions for us to consider. What did this psalm do to you? What phrase or word stood out? How did this psalm make you feel? I ask these questions because the Bible, the Psalms especially, assume that our prayers are a response to God's involvement in our lives. He is the one to initiate all conversation, not us. We respond to God's activity in our lives. A while back, I heard a clever saying, if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. Have you heard this one? And if you want to hear God speak audibly, well, read the Bible out loud. So it's a snarky comment, but it's true. When God speaks, and primarily through his written word, we, the readers of that word, we're affected. We're invited into truth. We're invited into life, into God's story. And so, in a very real sense, to engage with Scripture, to behold it, to chew on it, to let it affect and let us to receive it, we receive God. This is prayer. The psalmist David, who wrote Psalm 27, and many others, he is responding to God in the middle of his circumstances. We get a glimpse into a conversation that David is having with God. David isn't simply rattling off a bunch of truth statements to make himself feel safe and secure. David isn't trying to wield theology to prove his enemies wrong. David's coming to God in his very real, very urgent pain and suffering, in his grief, in his longing.
David is coming to God in brokenness and in need. David is coming to God in relationship. Prayer is relational. God's word invites us to take on the very words and images of the Psalms and speak them to God because, well, those Psalms are true representatives of our own lives. God gives us words to speak back to him, telling him the truth about our lives. The Psalms are messy and emotional. They're frantic and violent. Some Psalms even have bad theology. Who's got perfect theology? Raise your hand. Psalms have bad theology in them. The Psalms then, well, they kind of resemble our own lives, don't they? I mean, I'm messy. I'm violent. I'm emotional. I have bad theology. Don't tell anybody else. I mean, this means that God desires our mess. He desires our emotions, our violent and frantic hearts, our warped theology. God is interested in meeting you and me in the tornado of our dysfunction that swarms within our souls. He desires to see all of you, to listen to everything you have to say, to know you through and through. God also desires that we respond to him in the truth of our mess. We just read Psalm 27. God is inviting us to go to him in our pain, to go to him in our suffering, in our grief, in our longing. God desires to meet us in our brokenness. God desires to be in relationship with us. Prayer is our response and willingness to be in relationship with God. He desires to meet us in reality, in real time, in the good and in the bad of life. And so in the Psalms, God is guiding us to be real and honest in prayer. Where is the pain in your life? Where is the grief? How are you suffering right now? What do you think about and long for? Where are you broken? What needs do you have? What are the parts of yourself that you're hiding from everybody else? These. No one likes to be asked those questions. But these are the very places that God longs to meet you in. These are the very conversations God can't wait to be with you in. And in prayer, God invites you and me to be with him as he begins to gently speak love and grace where we have only ever known shame and guilt. God lets us, he invites us to let him breathe into our life beauty in the places that we are convinced that he would condemn us in. It makes sense why prayer is hard to describe. Even more hard to do. Prayer involves letting God into the places of our souls that we don't even want to go, because we're either too embarrassed or ashamed, or it's just too painful. We'd rather kind of wish it was behind us. God, he seems too dangerous. He seems too uncontrollable. And prayer, I mean, like real prayer, that's too risky. I kind of don't want to know where he's at in my soul or what he's up to. I don't know if I'm ready for God to deal with me in truth and in reality. I'm still scared that he'll take one look at me and leave the room. I'm scared that God's answer to my sin and brokenness is going to be disappointment. You know that look of disappointment? Or worse, he's just going to flat out reject me. So, but what is God's answer to my pain? Because that's what my answer for him would be, right? If I was in charge of God, this is kind of how the story that I've built up, this is how it would go out. He'd see me,
And he'd be like me. I don't want to be me. I don't want to be around me. And he'd leave. But what is God's answer to my pain, to my suffering, to my brokenness, to my sin? What is God's answer to my disbelieving and fearful heart? Well, God, and we're going back to Genesis. In the Genesis story, before the fall, he knew we would be in pain and suffering and shame and guilt. God knew we would be sinful and broken and violent and messy and needy. In that creation account, God had Good Friday in view. Jesus, as he was speaking the universe into existence, he planned on meeting the full force of our sin, fear, shame, violence with his love. And not, there's more. And to prove to us that he is determined to get us back home with himself. Because God, the God of the universe, cannot bear to not have us for all eternity. He would die to get us back. In love, in excitement, in beauty, Jesus stretched out his arms, nailed to a tree, so that he could wrap those arms around us and never let go. In prayer, God meets us in our unflattering true selves so that he can be present with us. Prayer then is us responding to God's presence with a willing heart. Prayer is also to accept his love in the moment, right here, right now, and to allow him to make us whole. Prayer is our consent to allow God to hold us in his arms so that we don't have to do life alone. Philippians 1:6 reminds us that he who began a good work in me, in you, in us, will see it to completion. And so, if our prayer is a response to God's active presence in our lives, well, then what are healthy ways to respond to God in relationship? To help us wrestle with how to respond to God, we're going to land in verse 4. And I'll read it again. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We are not the first to mine these treasures of verse 4. Many have gone before us. This morning I'm enlisting one particular book, When Prayer Becomes Real. Here's what these two gentlemen wrote, and then we'll connect it to verse 4. Prayer is not a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. Prayer is not a place to perform. It's a place to be present. Prayer is not a place to be right. It's a place to be known. And prayer is not a place to prove your worth. It's a place to receive worth and offer yourself in truth. So how do we respond to God in prayer? We seek him. We seek the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Prayer is a place to be honest, to speak honestly, and to invite the truth about ourselves, this world, the truth about God, without polishing it up. Let truth be truth. God knows us through and through, and he loves us. Now that is truth. So when we try to be good boys and girls, we actually come to God in fiction. We come to God in fantasy. In our everyday lives, we're tempted to give others what we think they want to hear. I mean, especially when we want something. We put our best foot forward. We clear the clutter in the background so that when we take that Facebook selfie, we look pristine. We even have filters, don't we? Isn't that crazy?
When we often find ourselves spinning the truth or hiding the truth of who we are so that we have a better chance of getting what we want or and being accepted. But guys, in prayer, there's no room for that. God does not interact with the lie that we spin. There's no need to clean up ourselves before we come to God. He's interested in who you are behind the mask. He's not interested in your representative. So next, we present ourselves to God in that truth, in that honesty. We say, here I am, God. This is the real me. These are my fears. These are my worries. Here's my jealousy. Here's my rage. Here's as much of me as I can bring to you right now. And in prayer, we simply show up. We put down our makeup, we put down our props, and we dwell with God. We can stop doing for God, and we can simply be with Him. Are you anxious? Well, go to God in prayer. Tell Him all about your fears. Are you angry? Go to God with the full weight of your anger. God's a big boy. He can handle it. Are you scared to even tell God the truth because you're scared that He might reject you or kick you out? Here's the cool thing. Go to God and tell Him that you're scared of Him. He already knows how you feel. God really does desire to dwell with you in all of your life. And so prayer is us dwelling with Him. Third, we got two more. Third, we allow ourselves to be known by God. Now, this kind of knowing isn't simply knowing about a thing, it's experiencing it. Back in suburban California, I knew about riding lawnmowers. I saw them in a magazine, I think, maybe in an online ad. But in my backyard in Ohio, like, I know the lawnmower now. My back knows the bumpy lawnmower. It has no springs. The mole-infested yard, yeah, I know lawnmowers. God isn't satisfied with simply knowing about you. He wants to know us. He wants to experience us. David, in another psalm, he put it this way. He said, Lord, search me and know my anxious thoughts. In other words, Lord, I give myself to you so that you can look upon me, so that you can experience me. We often don't like being gazed at. We don't even like being looked at, let alone being gazed at for long periods of time. But we don't like being gazed at very much. At least for me, embarrassment comes up. There's fear for some reason. God, if you look too closely at me, I am convinced, this is the story that I perpetuate, that you're going to leave the room. But God, throughout the entirety of Scripture, is declaring to you and me that we are beautiful. So beautiful, in fact, that He can't take His eyes off of us. And not only that, God wants you and me to gaze back at Him. Our spiritual eyes meet God's eyes, and we experience each other. Relationship is risky, isn't it? To be known is risky. Prayer is risky. Because prayer is a place to be known. And finally, in truth, in presence, in gazing, we receive. We receive our identity from our Creator. It's no surprise that as Gary was talking about identity, he was slinging Scripture all over the place, wasn't he? Where do we get our identity from? Our Creator. He knows who we are. We get to ask of God in prayer, who do you say that I am? How much do you declare that I am worth?
We can't give ourselves identity. We can't declare our own worth. The world has been trying, and we've really found out that we can't identify ourselves. Our Creator has to. So Lord, you see me in truth. Nothing I can manipulate with you. Your gaze is piercing. I'm exposed. I'm sinful. I'm messy. Heaven, help me. And God, with absolute joy in his eyes, he tells you that you are his. He crossed an infinite ocean of separation just to get you back. You want some identity? I'm piggybacking off of Gary here. You are the buried treasure in the field that God sold everything to buy. You are the lost coin that God tore apart the entire house to find. You are the younger brother that ran away and the father came and embraced. God himself says that you are stunning, that you're beautiful, that you are fully worth his love. You are the apple of his eye. You are the beloved child in whom he is well pleased. Would you pray with me? Lord, prayer is real. It's risky. It involves all of me. There is no part of me that you do not want. And therefore, there's no part of me that I can hide in prayer. And Lord, you want it though. You're gentle. You are so gentle. You want to claim every single aspect of us for yourself, to true it up, to bring it back to how you created that part, how you created me. But Lord, we come with baggage. We come with brokenness. It's scary to interact with you in truth. And so, Lord, as we pray, as we go to you in prayer, as we respond to your initiation, Lord, help us. We sing worship songs to you as a congregation because, well, one, they're true. And two, they're the cry of our hearts to you. Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. You are always with us. Lord, so help us come to you in the fullness of who we are so that we can experience you, so that we can practice for heaven where we're going to be with you unfiltered, unadulterated for all eternity. So, Lord, we give you our lives. Amen.